introduce my family. And so there's me. I'm married to Krista, and we have three children. Titus is our oldest, Mariah, and then Silas is our youngest. And as been mentioned, we've been in Tanzania off and on for the last 2 years or so with Ethnos Canada. Our purpose is to see a maturing church established in one of the least reached people groups in Tanzania. However, we started out with learning Swahili and the culture to be able to better communicate with the Tanzanians and have a better understanding of them and how they live life. And as mentioned, we had to return at the end of March. And so we've been living in Ontario, actually on the Ethnos Training Center campus. And that has allowed Krista to finish up teaching the kids school. So they're done. So that's a relief for Krista. And I have been continuing to study Swahili. And as mentioned, we would be happy to return, but currently there is a lot of uncertainty in how or when that would be for various issues. And so we don't know when we will, but we are seeking the Lord's direction, and we do appreciate your prayer in this. And we really appreciate your support and interest and prayers for us. So I just want to say a big thank you for that. And it's been encouraging when I've come on to hear different people praying for us and other missionaries. So I've appreciated that. So seeing as this is kind of the first meeting through Zoom, I was wondering what I should share about. And a number of weeks ago, I was listening to Don Brooks. He was speaking in Romans here on Wednesday, speaking on Romans. And he mentioned about how greetings are an important part of African life. And this rings true for our experience in Tanzania as well. And it reminded me of an experience of how important greetings are. And it was while we were preparing to leave Tanzania. As a side note, along with greetings, saying goodbye, we found out is another important thing. And so we were advised to say goodbye to people that we had met and made connections with. So before leaving, we took the opportunity to visit and say goodbye to a Swahili-speaking assembly in Dar by the name of Kekoju. And we've been there before. They're a fair distance away from where we were living, so we didn't get there often. But whenever we went, we always enjoyed fellowship together with them, meeting together and the breaking of bread. And so because important goodbyes were important, we went there to say that we were leaving and to pass on our goodbyes. And while we were there, they said it was customary for them to get us to pass on greetings to the churches in Canada for them. And so one of the believers read a passage from Scripture as their greeting. And so I will now pass that greeting on to you that they sent by reading the passage of Scripture. I'm going to read it in English for your sake and because it would be much easier for me. And so if you want to turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, if not, that's okay, I will be reading it. But the passage that was read was Galatians chapter 3, starting in at verse 23, and he read all the way to 29. But the verse in particular that he pointed out to was verse 27. So I'm going to read that right now. Galatians chapter 3, starting in at verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself or put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you, belonging to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. So this was the passage that was read, and there wasn't any great exposition given on it. The only comment that was given was that these things that we've read remind ourselves about our faith. And as I was looking at it, I also realized that for those of us that are saved, we are all one in God through faith in Christ Jesus. And so we have put on or clothed ourselves with Christ, and there is no difference. We are all one in Christ. And so with this, the believers at Kekko Jew greet you. And as I was thinking of greetings, I realized that greetings weren't just an important part of the Tanzanian assembly, but they're also a big part of Tanzanian culture. There are so many greetings. And there's even a special greeting when you're greeting somebody that is older or more distinctly older or a superior to you. And it allows you to show respect to your elders. And it goes something like this. The younger person would start out and say, Shikamo. And the older person would respond with, Maraba, Ujambo. And the younger person would say, Sijambo. And it's such an important part of the culture that the kids would even often say as the first thing when they meet their parents, they would say or go through this greeting with their parents. And even babies that can't speak are taught to put their hand on the forehead of an older person as a way of saying shikamo to them. And so we can see that greetings are not just a simple hello, how are you? And sometimes they can take up a good part of a conversation. I found it interesting that people on the street, people maybe I didn't know so well, that they would use greetings to judge how much Swahili they thought that I knew. So they would start with the common greetings, and then they would progress to those that were less common. And then they would see if I could respond or knew the response. So an example of that would be if I went up and I was greeting somebody, I would start with, Habari za asubuhi. They would say, Nzuri, na wewe? Nzuri sana. Habari za nyumbani? Nyumbani ni salama. Na familia wanaendelea vizuri. Sijui wewe. Nyumbani ni vizuri pia. Je, watoto wanaendelea je? Watoto wanaendelea vizuri. Wameenda shule. Wazima? Wazima. Mambo vipi? Poa. Safi? Safi kabisa. Kamakawa? Kamakawaida. And so I ended up learning a good number of these greetings. And I even got to the point where they thought I could speak and understand more fluently than I could. So then after going through the greetings, then they would start into a conversation. And oftentimes that's where they would leave me behind with my understanding. And so I've seen greetings in the Swahili culture are very important. With the Tanzanian assembly, they were important. I started wondering, what about the Bible? And then one day when I was reading, I came across a greeting in the Bible that stood out to me. It was found in Ruth chapter 2. Don't have to turn there. I will read it. Ruth chapter 2 verses 4 says, Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, May the Lord be with you. And he said to the, and they said to him, May the Lord bless you. And then going on in verse 5, it says, Then Boaz said to his servants, his servant who was in charge of the reapers, Whose young woman is this? So here we see that Boaz, even before he started his conversation, had this greeting that he said to the people that were working for him. And it stood out. It's not a common greeting that I use. I haven't heard any other people use it. And really, it doesn't add anything or not too much to the story. But yet it's still there in the Bible. And so it got me thinking about greetings in the Bible. And I decided I wanted to find out what are the common things that are a part of greetings in the Bible. And as I looked into it, I started to realize that there's really two main types of greetings. There's the greetings one does when you first meet somebody, and then there's the greetings one does as you depart or as you say farewell. So I want to share with you some things that I noticed as I was looking into greetings in the Bible, and share some distinct things that were said or done while greeting. And in particular, my main focus will be on that first greeting when you meet somebody for new. And I thought, hey, maybe this would be a suitable topic to be sharing, seeing as this is my first time sharing with you. And so hopefully these things will be something that you can learn from or be a reminder to you of some important things. And I hope you just get to enjoy some of the things that I've been learning of greetings. And to start with, I want to start with looking at heavenly beings. And oftentimes when in the Word of God, when there's a heavenly being appearing or talking to somebody, there's a greeting that is recorded. And that phrase often is, "Do not be afraid." We see this with Daniel, with Zechariah, Mary, and the shepherds, also with the women as they went to meet, to look for Jesus at his tomb. Connected to this, you might also consider when Jesus was walking on the water or when Jesus was at the Transfiguration, you can find that there as well. There are other times you will find these same words connected to angels or greeting, heavenly being greeting, saying, but they're not actually a part of the greeting, they're a part of the message. An example of this is Mary versus Joseph. When the angel appeared to Mary, part of the greeting was, "Do not be afraid." But when the angel appeared to Joseph in the dream, the angel said, "Do not be afraid," but then he goes on to say, "to take Mary as your wife." And so that was more a part of the message than the greeting. And then as I was looking, another area or common thing I found is there were greetings connected with, that coincided with feet washing. And this was even found as early as in Genesis 18. If you'll remember when Abraham sees the angels and the Lord approaching and he welcomes them. And then later on, when the angels go to Sodom, Lot does the same. It's referred to as well when Laban and Abraham's servants, and then Joseph, when his brothers are coming and he meets his brothers, reveals himself to his brothers. In the New Testament, the two more memorable situations would be when the woman comes and with her tears, she is washing the feet of Jesus at the Pharisee's house. And then also when Jesus washes his disciples' feet as well. Another one that's similar to this is greetings that coincide with kissing. And there are at least as many, but more likely more of these greetings recorded in the Bible, these greetings that coincide with kissing. In the Old Testament, it starts with Jacob when he's deceiving Isaac. And there are many others, and I'm just going to mention a few. With Jacob, he then goes to meet Rachel, and he does that, greets her with a kiss. And then Laban comes out to meet Jacob, greets Jacob with a kiss. And then Esau, when Jacob is returning, does the same thing. You see this as well with David and Absalom. And then again in the New Testament, the woman, when she was crying and washing Jesus' feet in the Pharisee's house, she also was kissing his feet as well. And you hear a bit about that there. I also found that there's at least five times that in the concluding words or greetings of different books, four times by Paul and one time by Peter, it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. With greetings and kissing, I also noticed that there were situations that it was in a more negative context. And even going back to that first occurrence, when Jacob comes to his father and is deceiving Isaac, Isaac comes and kisses Jacob to smell to make sure that it's Esau, or he thinks that it's Esau. And so we see this greeting and kiss in that negative, deceptive. But we also see it in Absalom, the son of David, as he's trying to gain the trust of the Israelites. And then later on, Joab, when he kills Amasa. And then in the New Testament, of course, when Judas comes and betrays Jesus. So this greeting that coincides with kissing, there are examples as well in a more negative context. But finally, and likely the most common greeting I found, they were all found in the New Testament in the letters. And the most common phrase is, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Although there are some variations to this. And for example, a few times it's grace, mercy, and peace. Three times it's that. But including these variations, I recorded 17 times when this greeting is used. And generally, most people would consider that it was from Paul. However, of those 17, 13 times it was from Paul, but there were two times that it was by Peter and two times that it was by John. And so today I want to focus more on and look more closely at this grace and peace greeting. Greeting with washing your feet and kissing might be a little hard with this social distancing that's going on. And I know for our house, it could use a lot more of grace and peace. So I thought that would be a good one to focus in on. Now, the first mention of it is in Romans, but since I'm open to Galatians, I'm just going to flip over to Ephesians. So in Ephesians chapter 1, the first two verses, I'll just read those. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to all the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have that greeting. And I want to begin by looking at those two words of grace and peace. And one thing that you'll notice that is their grace and peace, they are not greetings of good health or greetings of prosperity or greetings of growth in your position in the world or business. And the word grace is a Greek word, and it's similar to a Greek greeting that was used. And so this seems to have a more of a Greek emphasis. However, the word peace, although it's written in Greek, but it has that same idea as the Hebrew word shalom, which was a traditional Jewish greeting. And so even as these writers were writing, they would be showing that God's truth, God's salvation, is for both the Jew and the Greek as they would greet these people in these ways. And as we read back in Galatians chapter 3, the greeting from the assembly in Dar, it says, everyone that's saved, we are all one in Christ. That salvation is not just for the Greek or the Jew, but for all. And I was reminded as I was thinking on this about something Louis Voye said. He said, there are no non-essential Christians. Every believer has a function which is vitally important to the whole. And so not only are we all one, but we're all essential and important to God. Now, the meaning of grace has the idea of a favor or gift. And so as I was trying to understand it, it has the idea of an undeserved, unmerited love and favor. And as I was studying a statement that was I came across that really stood out to me, that helped me, was grace is love in action. Grace is love in action. I thought that was really good and helped bring out the meaning and understanding of grace. The meaning of peace, again, has that meaning of shalom, which is a harmony and tranquility, a resulting calm. But I also want to point out some differences. For example, there's a difference between the grace of God and grace found in and from God. The grace of God is often God's grace to us as sinners. And as some of you may have heard, the God's riches at Christ's expense, the way of breaking down grace in a way of remembering kind of God's grace to us as sinners. And we do not deserve it. There was nothing that we did to deserve it. And yet God sent his son to die for us. And he provided a way for us to be made right with God, for those that accept it. And so here we see God's grace in salvation. But because these letters are written to believers and the greeting is to the believers, this is likely not the primary understanding, as they would already be saved. And so finding grace in or from God more has that idea of that strength and the gifts from God that we as Christians need for living our lives, our Christian lives, from day to day. It's the power and what equips us for our Christian life and service. And it allows us to help us to be gracious to others and to build others up. And giving without requiring anything in return. And as I was studying this, I was reminded of a lady in Tanzania, Mama Naomi, and she was very gracious to us, forgiving us when we made cultural mistakes. One day when she was cooking, I came by and I said to her in Swahili, your food stinks. And what I was trying to say was, your food smells good. And she didn't assume that I was trying to be negative and that I had negative intentions. She was very gracious to me and helped me and corrected me in that. And then she was even very welcoming to us and said, why don't you come to our church? And when we did end up visiting her church, she took care of us. She later had us over for some food as well. And so she was very gracious to us and kind. But just as I differentiated between the grace of God and grace found in God, I also want to differentiate between peace with God and peace found in and from God. And it's fairly similar as well. Finding peace with God is something we do as sinners. It's a result, a rest in the knowledge that the penalty for our sins has been paid, that all our sins have been forgiven, and that we are never to be condemned because of them. We are no longer at enmity or enemies with God. With respect to the sin issue, because we are covered by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, because this is written to believers and the greetings to believers, this is not necessarily the primary understanding, as they would already be saved. And so finding peace in and from God has more of that understanding and idea of our spirit at rest. In all the challenging circumstances of life, our resulting calm that is independent of the circumstances that we're in. It enables us as believers to face persecution, to face sorrow, and even death itself. It's resting in God's sovereignty, even when things are very hard. And I know Krista and I experienced this when we found out that Krista had her tumor and we had to come back, and things were chaotic. But through that time, there were many times that we just felt God's peace upon us and that we could just trust and rest in him through that. And so the grace of God and peace with God are connected to salvation, but grace and peace found in God is something that we need for our daily living. And it's, if you will notice, often grace always comes first. And we need to have the grace of God before and accept God's grace in salvation before we can have that peace with God, knowing that the issue has been dealt with. And even here in the reading, we find that grace always comes before peace. And so where is the source? Where can this be found? It's not from ourselves. It's not from our wealth. It's not from our well-being. It's not even from our friends or from our family or spouse. It's not even from the other Christians or the church. We find it's from God. As most often, the greeting is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. However, even one of the places that this greeting is found in Revelation, it also mentions the Spirit. And so you get the idea of the whole Trinity from God. And so I want to now focus more in and take a look at the second half. Look at the different parts of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the source of where we find this. And God, who is God? Well, he's eternal. He's the all-powerful creator, the one that made us and made the world around us. But it says God our. And this our speaks to us as Christians. We can call him ours. It shows us there's a possession, a connection, and a relationship that we have with God. And it says, God, our Father. And Father defines that relationship. It's a personal relationship, one of caring and approachability and protection. It's better, far better than any fatherly relationship that we could have here on earth. It goes on to say, Lord, and that has the idea of absolute master. The one that has the full right to who we are and all that we are and have. And then the Lord Jesus. Jesus, that perfect person. The Savior, our substitute. Someone that we can relate to. But not only Lord Jesus, but Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. The divinely anointed prophet, priest, and king. And so this is the source in who we find this grace and peace. So now we know the source, but then it leads us to the question, how? How can we attain this? Well, God gives freely. And through abiding in Christ, as mentioned in the passage in Galatians, and maybe this is not the most correct application, but it talks about putting on, we are clothing ourselves with Christ. And every morning I get up and I clothe myself. And that can be a reminder that I need to remember to put on Christ and that I am in Christ and that it's not of myself or in myself, but in Christ. Another way is through reading God's word and meditating and dwelling on it, thinking of God and on his word, but also through prayer as well, taking everything to God in prayer. You remember Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And so, these are different ways that we can access and remember to abide in Christ and grow in our relationship in Christ through reading and meditating on God's word and through prayer. And so as my greeting to you, as this first time of sharing with you, my greeting to you echoes that of the apostles. Not going to try and greet you with a holy kiss, but greet you. May the grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say this, first of all, although I don't think it needs being repeated to this group of people, but I don't know. The first thing, most important, would be to accept the grace of God through trusting in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, to accept what that gift of grace that he is offering to us, and through that, be able to come to peace with God, knowing that your sins have been forgiven, that Jesus paid the price, and it's through his righteousness that God sees us. But secondly, and in our day-to-day life, I hope that more and more you will be abiding in him. I know that I need to work on this myself a lot, abiding in him. And that through reading and meditating and praying, that we will be able to grow in our relationship with God, that we're able to have through the grace of God. And that we would seek and take advantage of the grace and peace that we have from God. And that we would have God's grace to face the day, its challenges, its sorrows, its trials, whatever God may send our way, and the peace through it all, while that we can rest in God in the midst of it all, knowing that he is our creator, and he created us and knows what's best for us, and that we can rest in that, and through that rest have peace even in hard times. And so I hope you have appreciated some of the things, or been reminded of, or learned something about greetings, and that greetings aren't just important in African culture, but they're also mentioned in the Word of God, and that I'm very happy to be able to share this greeting of grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray that you would all be encouraged tonight. And with that, I will now close with a word of prayer. Father God, what an awesome and amazing privilege it is to be able to enter into the throne room of heaven before the creator of this world, Father God, and bring our prayer requests to you as we've done today. Lord, to know that we are able to approach you through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, and that you hear our prayers, that you love us, and that you care for us. And we see your love and care for us in the sacrifice of your Son, your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just want to thank you this evening. And Lord, many of us, particularly in this time, are going through trials, are struggling, as been prayed for, with being by ourselves, or losing work, or many other struggles that we may face, depression or sadness or whatever it may be, Lord. But we can turn to you and know that you are in control. And I pray, Father, that your grace and your peace would be upon the Christians, and even myself and my family, Lord, that we would be encouraged in you, that we would strive to grow in our relationship with you and meditate on the things that we have learned. Lord God, I just want to thank you again for your great love for us. And I want to pray this all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you, John. That was great to hear from you. Really appreciate those thoughts, and just nice to get to know you a little bit better.
Yes.
I'm sure the saints here would like to say hello, so unmute yourselves and have a little time of visiting if you want.
Thank you very much, John.
Thank you. And I've really appreciated the prayers I've heard, reminded that we are a family. And we can, even though we can be far away, we can work together. Thank you very much.
Good to see you and hear you, John. Chamwaza Chukuma.
Nice to see you too.